Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Welcome to Stu Does America. We got a great show coming up. Going to take a quick word, though, from Upside back in 60 seconds. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I get cash back on every purchase. It's like a secret weapon for staying on track with your savings goals. I mean, I was just looking at this. I got the Upside app pulled up right here. Look at this. I mean, just in my general vicinity, Cold Stone Creamery, I'm getting 5% back from that. Of course, I'm there like four times a week, so that's good. Pie 5 Pizza, right around the corner, Jersey Mike's, Taco Bueno. This is like the lottery for me, if you happen to be me. But it's gas, it's got all sorts of stuff on there, and you can get started with just downloading the free Upside app. Use the promo code STU, get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. Next, just claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside, and you pay as usual with a credit card or a debit card. You don't have to go into the app and show them anything. It just automatically goes through your card. And in comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn three times more cash back with Upside. Download the free Upside app and get the promo code STU. Get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. Using the promo code STU, get it now. Upside.
STU Does America.
Joe Biden is a bad president. He's also an elderly man with a poor memory. And that's not great for your attributes as a presidential candidate. That's why he's losing. But at StuDoesMerch.com, StuDoesMerch.com, the code is STU10. You get 10% off. They've got the mugs. We've got the shirts. We got all you need to get you ready for the election season. Of course, the show is on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Like and comment on the videos. It helps the algorithm robots make sure people actually see the show. Steve Baker is here with some incredible information about Harry Dunn. He's the guy who's the fake January 6th hero. Kamala Harris tries a new tactic to get hip with the fellow kids. But we start by doing the DEI collapse. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think to myself sometimes, is DEI in the middle of collapsing? You know, CRT, the gender stuff, is it all really in the middle of collapsing? And in some ways, I do feel like things are going in the right direction. Other times, I'm like, well, this is like if you gain 100 pounds and then you lose 5. Like, we're still kind of in a crazy place, but at least maybe we're going in the right direction. UNC Chapel Hill Board has voted to dismantle their DEI programs and use the funds on campus police after the anti-Israel protests. The University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Board of Trustees reportedly voted on Monday to dismantle its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and transfer millions in funding, and it said, to public safety and campus police on the heels of the anti-Israel demonstrations. The unanimous decision by the trustees will reallocate $2.3 million that the university spends on DEI toward police and public safety measures as part of its annual budget approval process. Now, UNC is not, it's not Hillsdale, okay? This is not like some conservative university. Maybe it's not as bad as Berkeley, but it's not some conservative university that's doing this. And they're not alone either. Two Virginia universities have scrapped their DEI requirements after Youngkin audit. VCU and George Mason canceled their plans to implement DEI-oriented classes as a requirement for undergraduate studies after Youngkin raised concerns about core curriculum mandates that are a thinly veiled attempt to incorporate the progressive left groupthink. However, while the VCU Board of Visitors voted 10-5 publicly in a meeting on Friday to reject a racial literacy requirement just before the fall 2024 academic semester, which included the requirement was set to begin, GMU decided to delay implementation for 1 year. Well, I mean, that's good. Again, gained 100 pounds, we're losing 5. But we'll take the 5-pound loss. You got to start somewhere. Am I right? How about UT? UT students are pushing back against a DEI program ban. The University of Texas students and their supporters march from the UT Tower to the state capitol to testify Tuesday at a Senate hearing on Senate Bill 17, a new law banning DEI. This is, the state forced those programs to close January 1st. And today's hearing is supposed to look into whether Texas universities are doing all they can to comply with the new law. Texas Senate Committee on Higher Education was originally going to focus on SB 17, which ended what supporters describe as discriminatory diversity. That's a lot of D's right in a row. Equity and inclusion programs at the state's public universities. So, you know, okay, we now know this is the case. I guess every time anything happens at a university, we're going to get protests from students. That's been going on, I guess, for a long time on and off. But we're really in a weird area right now because, like, a lot of these universities are giving in to these claims. We'll look at the divestment options you've given us so you shut up and get out of our face. It's called negotiating with terrorists. Normally, it doesn't work out so well. But again, we lost 100 pounds. We gained 100 pounds. We're losing five. We haven't lost weight overall. Let's put it that way. MIT has abolished mandatory DEI statements in faculty hiring. This is one of the most egregious things you're ever going to see. We've talked about this before. The First Amendment is not just giving you right to say whatever you want. That's not what it does. It's, you know, there are, of course, some very limited limitations on this. But more than that, there's a very specific part of this that bans the idea of compelled speech. You shouldn't be forced to say something you don't believe. Sure, you should be able to say the things you do believe, but you certainly shouldn't be forced to say things that you don't believe. Compelled speech is a big, big issue, and it's becoming more of an issue recently. Speaking of the decision, MIT President Sally Kornbluth said, "My goals are to tap the full scope of human talent to bring the very best to MIT and to make sure they thrive once here. We can build an inclusive environment in many ways, but compelled statements impinge on freedom of expression and they don't work." Yeah, you think so? Forcing people to pledge allegiance to DEI wasn't really a good policy after all. Who would have thought? And we also have this headline, excessive greed. A former DEI manager at Facebook sentenced for $5 million fraud. Now, you remember this story. 38-year-old Barbara Furlow Smiles of Marietta, Georgia, reportedly executed an elaborate scheme involving fraudulent vendors, fictitious paperwork, and cash kickbacks. Furlow Smiles must now pay restitution in the amount of $4,981,783.58 to Facebook and $121,054.50 to Nike, for a total of over $5 million, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of Chicago said. Now, this is something, I mean, she gets in trouble for this, but, like, can you blame her for trying? I mean, this has been a grift from the beginning. The fact that she took an extra $5 million, I mean, how is that a big deal in the grand scheme of things? I kind of forgive her on this one, frankly. I side with her over Facebook because you can't possibly expect her to know she wasn't supposed to steal money. You hired her as a DEI executive. The whole job is stealing money. So the question, I guess, is what has DEI accomplished so far? Anything other than just getting people on, you know, I mean, a bunch of racism, I would argue. It's accomplished. It's ruined a bunch of campuses. It's ruined a bunch of people's lives who didn't do anything wrong but were charged with DEI, various DEI violations, if you will. And, you know, we're also seeing this sort of thinking permeate so many levels of our society, including on the issue of gender. This is one of the big things we've talked about for a long time. But again, we've gained 100 pounds, but we've like lost five recently. And I feel like that's maybe a good thing. Some people might look at this and say, wait a minute, you've gained 95 pounds. And that's true. But this is what how I get out of it with my doctors. So I figured it'll work here as well. Hillary Cass says U.S. doctors are out of date on youth gender medicine. This is a fascinating story from the New York Times. And I want to just read you the beginning of this before we get into some of the more detailed analysis on this. This story is incredible. You may have missed this. It certainly has not been covered by the mainstream media that much. But in that breath, I want to make sure I'm acknowledging that the New York Times is covering it. So like this has become, sometimes you get to a place where a story gets so crazy that even the New York Times is like, yeah, they're kind of right on this one. You know, we've seen it happen with the origin of COVID. Yeah, we called that a conspiracy theory for years. But yeah, now everyone kind of acknowledges it may very well have been true on the lab leak theory. Let me give you this. And this is just incredible to me. After 30 years, one of England's top pediatricians, Dr. Hilary Cass, was hoping to begin her retirement by learning to play the saxophone. Instead, she took on a project that would throw her into an international fire, reviewing England's treatment guidelines for the rapidly rising number of children with gender distress known as dysphoria. At the time, in 2020, England's sole youth gender clinic was in disarray. The waiting list had swelled, leaving many young patients waiting years for an appointment. Staff members who said they felt pressure to approve children for puberty-blocking drugs had filed whistleblower complaints that had spilled into public view. And a former patient had sued the clinic, claiming she had transitioned as a teenager, quote, after a series of superficial conversations with social workers. Again, is this some medical decision, or can you have a couple of conversations with social workers and get this done? The National Health Service asked Dr. Cass, who had never treated children with gender dysphoria, but had served as the president of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health, to independently evaluate how the agency should proceed. Now, you see the Times kind of taking a little dig there, right? She's never really dealt with this before, but yeah, she had a bunch of qualifications. It's probably what you need, though, right? If everyone you're approving to treat gender dysphoria believes this craziness, if you're going to have someone come in and question the craziness, you have to come in with someone who isn't necessarily covering this particular topic day to day. You need someone who's going to look at it with fresh eyes, and that's Dr. Hilary Cass. Over the next 4 years, Dr. Cass commissioned systematic reviews of scientific studies on youth gender treatments and international guidelines of care. She also met with young patients and their families, transgender adults, people who had transitioned, detransitioned, advocacy groups, and clinicians. Her final report, published last month, concluded that the evidence supporting the use of puberty-blocking drugs and other hormonal medications in adolescents was, quote, remarkably weak. Again, this is the New York Times telling you this. On her recommendation, the NHS will no longer prescribe puberty blockers outside of clinical trials. Dr. Cass is also recommended that testosterone and estrogen, which allow young people to develop the physical characteristics of the opposite sex, be prescribed with, quote, extreme caution. Well, yeah. I mean, I think all of us could easily recognize this. But to have someone like this, a very highly respected medical professional, come out and blurt out the thing that we've all been saying for a long time is really important. They asked a couple of questions to her. What are your top takeaways from the report? The most important concern for me is how poor the evidence base is in this area. Some people have questioned, did we set a higher bar for this group of young people? We absolutely didn't. The real problem is that the evidence is very weak compared to many other areas of pediatric practice. And then the second big takeaway for me is that we have to stop just seeing these young people through the lens of their gender and see them as whole people, you think? Address the much broader range of challenges that they have, sometimes with their mental health, sometimes with undiagnosed neurodiversity, is really about helping them to thrive, not just saying, how do we address the gender in isolation? What's fascinating about this is, for as long as I can remember, we have been in a situation where the United States has looked around the world and said, holy crap, things are getting crazy. Look at Europe. Things are getting crazy over there, and we are going down that road. This is a very, very bad idea. This has changed. I don't know if you've picked this change up, but this has changed, and it's changing in many ways. It's no longer Europe leading us into the crazy world. We are now on the other side of this. We are the ones leading them into the crazy world, or more appropriately, following them in the wrong direction. Europe, much of Europe, has now reversed itself on this gender stuff. We just keep plowing ahead with it, acting like nothing's going on. Why? I think because Donald Trump doesn't agree with it or something. If you happen to be a conservative and you disagree with the gender stuff, well, then, of course, everybody in the media has to embrace the gender stuff, despite the fact that it makes them look crazy. In Europe, they're at least diagnosing this and moving in the right direction. The same thing is happening there with abortion, where all of our laws are opening up and going crazy in many of the blue states. Over there, they're looking at this and saying, wait a minute, actually, let's tighten these up a little bit. Let's make them more conservative than the United States. America is actually on the wrong side on this stuff. It's no longer Europe looking like the people who are moving us into the crazy times. We are now the ones who are embracing the crazy times. And how did this happen to our medical industry? Now, I think the medical industry does a world of good. A lot of things that are really, really impressive. I'm not a negative on pharmaceutical companies or anything like that. I know a lot of people are. Generally speaking, I think they do a pretty good job and help a lot of people. That being said, like, the fact that they're just embracing this stuff that the medical industry is just taking this stuff and acting as if it's true when we all know it isn't, is really, really disturbing. And it better change. It needs to change. It changed in Europe. It's changing in Europe. That can happen here as well. And whatever happened to Europe leading the world in insanity, leading us down this road, we're now going the opposite direction. It seems like Europe gained 100 pounds and then has lost 20. And I don't know, maybe we've lost 5. The fact that we're behind Europe is really, really depressing on this front. Like, I mean, America has a lot of things, right? A lot of things going for it. We still have great natural resources. We still have the best system of government. We have good courts. We have lots of things that, generally speaking, work out for us. But man, what's going on? We are going in the wrong direction, and we're going there seemingly on a bullet train. And if you want to continue to watch our society crumble, you have to look at the fundamentals of what this country is. Yeah, it's got capitalism. Yeah, it's got faith. Yeah, it's got all sorts of things that other countries look at and don't understand and don't take advantage of. But one of the things we've always had is sort of like common sense, understanding blatantly obvious truths. You know, we shouldn't be. We were one of the first countries to understand, yeah, maybe, enslaving an entire race is a bad idea. Doesn't sound like a tester. Seems like something you should kind of notice right away. Took us a little too long, let's be honest about that. But we got there a lot faster than everybody else did, and that's a good thing. The fact that we look at these things and say, hey, common sense should speak up here and have a voice and say, wait a minute. You're born a boy, you're just a boy, and you're going to be a boy forever. No matter how many times you say you're a girl, you're still a boy. Everybody knows that's common sense. And we've just abandoned that train. The left wants us to abandon it completely. It's a scary path, but it's one we continue to go down with reckless abandon. Steve Baker is here. He's going to join us next. How much of the craziness in life are you prepared for? Let me give you an example. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane system is likely to be destructive and costly and has the potential to be really active and one of the most active on the record. Meteorologists have called for 24 named storms, 11 hurricanes. This is something that can do a lot of damage if you're near the coast. This should put you in the mind of stocking up on critical medical supplies for emergency situations. You might say, well, what about a generator? What about food or water? Those are all really important. However, going farther than that with the Jace case is the way to go. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. And all you have to do is go on, get a simple form, fill it out online. You'll have it ready for you when you need it. They have all sorts of stuff, all sorts of add-ons you can put on there. Look at their whole list. Check this out. Be prepared for your family and your family's medical needs. Jace Medical, empowering people to look at their health and taking their family's health into their own hands. You can check them out today. Go to jace.com and use the code STU for an additional discount on your order. It's jace.com, code is STU. JASE.com, the code is STU. Check it out now. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
I'm joined now by Steve Baker, investigative journalist and Blaze Media correspondent. Be sure to check out his new piece, Why Did a Powerful Veterans Pack Endorse Harry Dunn, Phony Hero of January 6th? It's up on the front page of theblaze.com right now. Don't miss it. Steve, thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, Stu, it's good to be back.
Yeah, and there's so much going on with this, and I know we have some new stuff that's coming out today as well. I want to get to that in a second. But, like, let's start with Harry Dunn. Okay. You've been on, you've talked about Harry Dunn on the show, but not everyone saw this. Can you kind of walk us back in history a little bit? People might know the name Harry Dunn as a hero of January 6th. Who is he and why do we know about him?
Well, he's the most famous Capitol Police officer in history. And that fame began shortly after January 6th when he did an anonymous interview with BuzzFeed in which he told the reporter from BuzzFeed that he had been chanted at the N-word 20, 40, 50 people.
Wow.
Doing this in what was the most recorded videoed audio recorded event in maybe human history itself.
You think maybe someone caught that on video.
Especially in the area where he claimed that it happened, with all of the cell phone videos that you see up and around. Mm-hmm. And of course, had the mainstream media had access to that video, or the FBI or the DOJ, we would have never not heard the end of that.
Every single
January 6th story from now to the end of time would have included that clip. Mm-hmm. It's just that it doesn't exist. It couldn't have happened where he claimed that it happened, as we've discovered from our time in the Capitol CCTV viewing room. But also now there's so many more cameras coming out. We have the Metropolitan Police body cameras. We have more open source video coming out all of the time. So with a much more thorough review, we've been able to establish that not only did Harry at least hyper-exaggerate that story.
Yeah.
But then once it was revealed who the officer was that was making this claim, then there was a succession of stories and then heroic acts and his tales of daring do began to get bigger and bigger.
The tales get taller.
Bigger.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, because this is interesting, because I mean, it seems to me, like say I've never done anything, I've never been at the Blaze, never worked with Glenn Beck, never got into this business at all. My impression would be that, like, the job of a journalist, when you hear a fantastical claim like this, right, some crazy, oh my gosh, like, this doesn't seem like America in 2020, 2021, 2022, that you could have a situation where, like, you know, someone would be surrounded and have the N-word chanted at them. If that happened to anybody, I want to know about it. Mm-hmm. My impression of what a journalist would do in that situation was hear the story and then go try to see if it's accurate. You certainly don't just believe the first person you bump into on a story like that. And you think the left, when it comes to believing police officers, not exactly their first instinct here. Did anyone actually try to find out if these stories were true other than you?
To our knowledge, no. As a matter of fact, looking at all of the articles in the last week, because former officer Harry Dunn is running for Congress right now. His primary is today in the Maryland 3rd Congressional District. And in all of the stories leading up, including Time Magazine last week naming him the person of the week, not the year, but the person of the week, and then doing a very big story on him in the last couple of days, the lead off paragraph by the journalist who is featuring Dunn list all of his heroic or alleged heroic events that he, you know, or acts that he did on January 6th. And I'm sorry, I had to call him out publicly. He's been tagged thousands of times in the last 24 hours. I just said, you know, you realize that nothing that you repeated in this first paragraph is true. And I can prove it by Capitol CCTV, because we've done a day in the life of Harry Dunn. Mm-hmm. We've done video after video. I was calling him out in some of his lies even before I was working for The Blaze. And one of the things that I've always done is I've challenged the mainstream media who have been sycophantic, who have been slobbering over him for 3+ years now. Just show me one example of when you've brought him on for an interview, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, any of you. Show me one example on video corroborating anything he has ever said, either in his book or the interview or congressional testimony or in trial testimony. Just show me one video. I've been challenging them for a year and a half.
You're not asking them to clear a high bar here. Give me one piece of video that supports one of his accusations. They can't even do that?
Can't even. Never done it. And not a single appearance he has ever made on a, you know, mainstream television show has ever once included 1 second of video of him doing what he has claimed to do.
I mean, that's incredible. We know this video exists. So we have the example of him being surrounded by a group of dozens of people chanting the N-word that, again, would definitely have been picked up if it had happened in this area. What other lies do we know about Harry Dunn? Can you give us a couple?
Well, yeah, I think that this is one of the most significant reveals that we're going to have, because we've actually got a trailer coming out for our new kind of mini documentary on the day of the life of Harry Dunn. Okay. So the trailer should be up by the time this show airs.
Okay.
But the point being is that we show in this trailer that one of his most significant testimonies in his book, or stories, is that he claims over 5.5 pages in his book that at the beginning of his day, of arriving at the Capitol, somewhere between 6:45, 7 o'clock, that then he went into their morning roll call briefing. This was for a big group. And because they hadn't had their regular roll call briefings for many months because of the COVID lockdowns, that they decided to have it in the large auditorium where they bring tourists in and do like and show big a film on the history of the Capitol before they do their Capitol tours. So they used this theater. Well, this theater has two cameras in it, one facing the seats and one facing from the back of the room down the seats. We looked at that camera from 6:45 a.m. till 10 a.m. Not a single cop ever walks inside that building. So he spends 5.5 pages going into graphic detail about what they heard, what they learned from all this roll call briefing. But see, this is one of the things that got me on Harry Dunn, is because going all the way back to the Oath Keepers trial, a member of his first responders unit was testifying in that trial. And when he was asked under cross-examination what they knew about the day, he goes, we weren't told anything. We didn't have a briefing that day. He says, as far as I knew, there was just something happening at the White House. And then, so, you know, I'm like going, one radar, you know, antenna goes up, another one goes up when I'm reading in his book, and I went straight back to Washington, went straight back to the CCTV viewing room, and went straight to that auditorium. And then to cover, you know, make sure we had it right, there's two other small auditoriums, and we were able to do and monitor the hallways outside those auditoriums for the same period of time. It just never happened. And so when you start your day with a complete total fabrication like that, it's so easily provable wrong. I mean, he obviously didn't think we would ever get access to the Capitol CCTV when he started telling that story. But when you start your day like that, well, you get to call into question everything else he says about his day that day.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think this is still crazy, but you could be maybe even forgiven if you go through January 6th, a traumatic event for anyone who's involved, right? You come off of that, but, you know, you have people who, there was violence on the day. There's a lot of crazy stuff that went on. A BuzzFeed reporter pulls you aside, says, hey, what happened in there? Maybe you heard that word once or twice and you exaggerate, you're in the moment. Okay. What you're talking about now is in a book. This is months and months and months later, where you sit there and craft it. You have editors, you bring up a story, you rewrite the story, you go through revisions. This is not just some off the cuff lie. This seems like a serious problem with a person who can't tell the truth.
I contacted his book publisher twice. I said, because we got an advanced copy here through Blaze Media.
Yeah.
And I poured over it, and of course, I had already been in the video room. I knew that this book should have been, you know, debuting in the fiction section at you know, Barnes & Noble. But instead, I did the right thing. I contacted and said, you realize that about 90% of what he says happened on the day? No, I didn't look, you know, he's got his biography in there in the first couple chapters, you know, his youth, his childhood, and then he's got his post-January stuff. I looked at January 6th, and it's all wrong by the video. And it's story after story after story is either, as you said, an exaggeration. Some of these things could have been slightly misremembered times, you know, maybe I didn't get the time right.
Yeah.
But when you spend 5.5 hours describing in detail something that didn't happen, couldn't have happened, and nobody else, any of the other, your colleagues in your unit testified that, no, we didn't have a roll call briefing that morning. And then it's just the next one and the next one and the next one. They just fall down like dominoes after that.
It's so weird. And there's just been a media creation around this guy. They've tried to make him into this big hero. So you have a face to push back against, mainly, you know, Trump and others involved in January 6th. Now this guy's taken this fame. He's riding the wave, trying to ride it all the way to Congress. Right. His primary is today.
Yes.
You have a story in the Blaze about how Vote Vets, which is a big super PAC that usually supports military veterans, has decided to make an endorsement. They've endorsed Harry Dunn, although he's not a veteran from the military, and there are other options for them to endorse military veterans. What is going on?
Yeah, there are three other combat vets veterans in the race running against Harry Dunn in this primary, yet Vote Vets PAC has given Harry the endorsement. What's going on is no more complicated than this. And actually, I interviewed one of those primary opponents of Harry Dunn, Juan Dominguez. Really good guy. I mean, he's a Democrat. He West Point grad, Gulf War veteran. And he was very honest with me on the call. He just said, this is the problem with the money in politics. He said, the money has already essentially anointed Harry to take the mantle because he is being paid back for something. He is known that he is going to be compliant with whatever the establishment leadership of the Democratic machine is when it comes to voting time. And so he's just going to be a reliable vote. And as a result of that, they've anointed him with this, and as a result, went and forced Vote Vets into giving him that endorsement, overlooking the three actual veterans in the race.
And now, is this one of those districts that is going to go to the Democrat probably no matter what? Is it one of those?
Yes. It's a dark blue district.
So this is the election that's
much
going on right now. And he is, my understanding, the favorite, right?
He is the favorite. He's raised basically three times more money than the rest of the field combined.
Oh, my gosh.
And as a result of getting the endorsement from Nancy Pelosi and on and on and on and on. So this is definitely a political payback for him helping her in her effort to, as she said, way, way back before the establishment of the January 6th Select Committee, when she said that the reason for doing that was that we were going to establish and preserve the narrative of that day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And her her compliant hero of the day, the one that's been given a presidential medal, a congressional medal, the book deal, and now being served up on a silver platter to Congress in the 3rd District of Maryland, is former officer Harry Dunn.
Yeah, sometimes she says the quiet part out loud, which happened there. And that is the thing. I mean, they just want to keep this as a top of the mind issue, right? Like, this is one of their two or three approaches to this election. They want to talk a lot about January 6th. What better way to do it? Steve Baker, the new piece is up at Blaze.com. And the documentary preview, the trailer, is coming out today as well. It's probably up already. Is it going to be at the Blaze.com as well?
Yeah, it'll be at the Blaze.com, obviously on X and YouTube.
Okay.
And
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Go find it, Steve Baker. And the piece is called Why Did a Powerful Veterans PAC Endorse Harry Dunn, Phony Hero of January 6th? It's available as well on TheBlaze.com. Steve, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Stu.
All right, I've been telling you about Gen 90 for a while now. This is the latest breakthrough in skincare from our friends over at GenuCell. And, you know, it works on, you know, all the issues you might be dealing with. If you got bags and puffiness, maybe you're doing Steve Baker hours and you need to have something with the bags and puffiness. I'm sure you're getting them under the eyes, Steve. This has got to be happening to you at this point. So I'll get you some GenuCell. This can help instantly and help reduce the appearance of looking older anywhere. You use it around the eyes, around the forehead, crow's feet, laugh lines, even the chin. Never worry about your skin or your confidence again with Gen 90. This is luxurious, paraben-free, silky smooth, and the best of all, it starts working in seconds. Now you can get GenuCell's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum with every Gen 90 order, and luxurious GenuCell XV collagen builder with moisturizer and vitamin C and hyaluronic acid, all the good stuff's in there. I don't know what half the stuff even is. All I know is that it works. And even if you think, hey, I don't think it does work, I don't believe you, well, they're going to give you a guarantee. Go to GenuCell.com right now for incredible packages over 50% off during GenuCell's spring sale. Results guaranteed or your money back. GenuCell.com/Stu. Order right now. Get a free limited edition spa box with bonus gifts and free shipping. It's GenuCell.com/Stu. Check it out now. GenuCell.com/Stu.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal S. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
We have to know that sometimes people will open the door for you and leave it open. Sometimes they won't. And then you need to kick that f***ing door down. Excuse my language.
We're gonna make t-shirts. With that saying, kick the door down.
Wow. You know, I had read that sent statement, but I hadn't actually watched the video yet. And it said it was 27 seconds long. And I thought, well, she just swears. Like, why? What's 27 seconds? It's just constant cackling for 25 of the 27 seconds. So that's, and I'm curious, the sign language person first has to do an F-bomb, but then also has to somehow translate the cackling. And I don't know how that happens. I don't know if sign language can actually translate those sounds to people who are deaf. If you ever wanted to be blessed for being deaf, you can just think about what it would be like to not hear the cackling of our vice president. By the way, the Biden-Harris administration has announced a new climate and transportation research center. This is $1.7 million of research funding for a climate change and a transportation research center at the University of California, Davis. Now, what's interesting about this is all the tax money you will ever pay in your entire life won't pay for this one stupid thing that will never do anything for our country. Just wanted to remind you of that because, you know, April 15th seems like not that long ago, but another one will be coming up next year, and you'll put another down payment on that transportation and climate research center that will never accomplish anything for you. All it will do is maybe, if you're lucky, lead to new policies that cost you even more money. So congratulations for that, America. Michael Cohen has returned to the witness stand. He got the cross-examination thing today. And there was an interesting kind of thing playing out as far as the dynamics of this trial. As I've mentioned a million times, Michael Cohen is the least reputable person on earth. I did an entire countdown, thousands and thousands of people who might qualify for that title, and Michael Cohen won. And this is like back in 2016, and he's won every year since. Michael Cohen is not someone who should be believed whenever he's actually opening his mouth. And going back to the days he was on Trump's team and saying all sorts of nonsensical things to boost Trump, to the point where then he left Trump and he became like, I don't know, you may have missed this era. Taylor Swift has her Eras Tour. This is like the Michael Cohen Eras Tour, where he went into a bizarre state where he would just go on TikTok and yell like a resistance warrior about how bad Donald Trump was, using the most insulting language possible. He's an Oompa Loompa, an orange skin buck tooth Oompa Loompa. Like all this crazy stuff that you'd hear from like Keith Olbermann. And he became that guy for a few months when that benefited him. Of course, previously he had been that guy for Donald Trump when that benefited him. And now he's going into a trial, so he has to be on stand and have a more measured tone. And he's that guy because that guy will benefit him right now. There are no words that Michael Cohen says that you should ever believe. Doesn't matter what he's saying, what insight you think he might have. But of course, now that the media has found an era in which that benefits them to believe Michael Cohen, that's what they're doing. But I will stay consistent on this one. He sucked then, he sucks now. In case you were wondering about that. House Democrats are like, hey, we only have 91 charges against this guy. How can we get more? So get ready for number 92 through, I don't know, 100, 105. House Democrats are launching a probe on Trump's dinner with oil executives in which he reportedly says, and I've yet to see this quote, so that's an important caveat, but he reportedly said, hey, give me $1 billion and I'll help your industries. Now, my guess is what he actually said was something more like, you guys should be giving me and donating money to me because my policies are going to wind up helping you. These are policies we know about because the man was already president of the United States. I don't know if anyone noticed this. He already was president. We already know that he's in favor of fossil fuel usage. We already know that he has an actual sense that the economy is better when we use fossil fuels. Of course, oil executives are going to think his policies are better than the other option, which is people who have run on the idea of bankrupting and destroying their industries. This is not some big thing. Every special interest group does this. You might not like it. But honestly, I don't even think it's that untoward. I mean, like, the bottom line is, if you are a solar panel manufacturer, you're going to go to a Joe Biden thing and he's going to say, hey, you should be donating to me. Why? Well, because my policies are going to help your companies and it's going to help our planet. Blah, 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 blah. This is just, you know, more of the same. And of course, not actually a crime. But of course, why not go after him anyway? And finally, let me leave you with this before we get move on to the next segment. Biden's polling denial. Why he doesn't believe he's behind. The press doesn't write about it. The momentum is clearly in our favor, with the polls moving toward us and away from Trump, Biden told donors. Of course, that's not at all what the polling is showing. New New York Times Siena survey sampled more than 4,000 people across swing states, had Trump winning 5 of the 6. Bloomberg News poll last month similarly found Biden trailing Trump in 6 of 7 swing states. North Carolina was the additional one we talked about yesterday. Biden likes to cite his numbers in one poll, a Marist poll, which show him ahead. But, of course, there have been polling errors before. The problem for Biden is most of those polling errors have been anti-Trump errors, meaning like he was up by 7 or 8 points and only won by 1 or 2 last time. Same thing with Hillary back in the day. Hillary was ahead, but wound up losing. These are not things that they want to think about. They just are hoping that they can say, we've got good reasons to believe Biden's actually ahead. Why? Not because you're supposed to be convinced of that. It's because the people in the party who might throw him out and try to get a new nominee will be convinced of it. We will see if that works. You know, it's very uncommon when you find a time where drinking some of your favorite adult beverages can help America's heroes. But this is one of those times. Since 2007, Folds of Honor has provided life-changing scholarships to the spouses and children of America's fallen or disabled in combat. And in 2023, this was extended to include the families of fallen first responders. They've awarded 51,000 scholarships and more than $200 million so far. The need is still great, but together we can make sure that no qualified applicant is turned away. Well, what does that have to do with drinking? Understandable question. Well, Flying Ace has aligned with Folds of Honor to ensure the children of our American heroes receive the education they deserve. As proud supporters of Folds of Honor, Flying Ace has held the privilege of providing hope for those families in need of our protection and help to pursue their happiness. To that end, Flying Ace is proudly sponsoring 4 scholarships awarded quarterly this year. If you can, donate today for sure. Help make a great impact today. And I don't know, maybe go to flyingacespirits.com. Get some good stuff, okay? Scan the QR code that is on the screen right now. The link is also in the show notes. When you purchase a bottle of Flying Ace, you'll also be donating to Folds of Honor. What a great idea. Make sure you use the promo code America. You'll get free shipping on every order. Free shipping on every order with the promo code America. It's flyingacespirits.com, promo code America. New York Times has a piece. RFK Jr. is 2024's X Factor, new polls show fueled by young voters and social media. And this is true. He's definitely an impactful guy. Probably will be the biggest third-party candidate since Ross Perot. That doesn't mean he's going to get 16%. I think, what was it, 19% Perot got? I don't think that's going to be happening. But he is certainly a factor here. Some of the breakdowns of the polls have been interesting. That New York Times Siena poll had a breakdown. And basically what they are saying is you have Biden voters, right, that voted for Biden in 2020. Those people are leaving Biden and they're winding up in the RFK Jr. column. Does that mean that they are hurting Biden? Well, they argue actually maybe not, because if you take RFK out, these people are so done with Biden, they'd probably go to Trump. But when they had that third option, they're going to RFK. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're hurting Biden? Or does that mean you're hurting Trump? I mean, look, the bottom line is you need to earn the votes of your voters. So I don't think anyone owes a vote to anyone else. If you want to vote for RFK Jr., vote for RFK Jr. But make sure you look into him, especially if you happen to be a conservative, because there's a lot of questions there that I would say you should have for RFK Jr. And also, I will say this. This is not one of the questions I have. RFK Jr. absolutely should have Secret Service protection. This has now had another intruder has broken into his house, at least according to him, which, again, I don't always put the highest piece of credibility on. But I will say, the man has had multiple people in his family in politics get assassinated in front of our eyes. You can make an argument he needs more protection than anyone else in this race. But at least he should definitely also be getting protection here. It's incomprehensible that he doesn't. And this is part of the Biden version of democracy, which includes having no primary opponents that you'll debate, getting them kicked off of the ballot, getting third parties kicked off the ballot, getting your opponent thrown in prison or kicked off the ballot, and then having a ballot with only your name on it and then claiming you care about democracy. That, not to mention, I don't know, at this point, seemingly hoping something terrible happens to the third guy in the race. It is a disgraceful, disgraceful thing that RFK Jr. cannot get this protection. He absolutely should have it. And somebody in the media should bug him about it a little bit. Bug Biden about it. Have them actually raise this up the flagpole, because Biden doesn't seem to be in control. Find somebody who is. Coming up on Friday, brand new episode of State of the Race. We'll go through a bunch of polling and all the stuff behind the scenes that you need to know as to where we are. You get this as audio-only content. It is available wherever you get your podcast. Just go to the podcast app and search for Stu Does America. Follow the show. You'll get the main show here, as well as State of the Race. As we get into election season, it's going to be very, very interesting. Subscribe now.